Welcome to The Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let The Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of The Other Side of 40. Today we have Janice Sutherland, who is a CEO of the award-winning leadership and personal development consultancy, Sutherland Coaching and Consulting. Janice's professional career has spanned over 25 years of leadership with prestigious multinationals in the UK and Caribbean. And she has made history when she became the first female CEO in the telecom sector in her ancestral home of Antigua and Barbuda. She now focuses her work on developing future female leaders, helping them to create strategies to advance their careers and develop the confidence, presence, and influence they need to drive through leadership barriers and confidently navigate the boardroom, coaching women across the globe. She is the author of international bestseller, This Woman Cam, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead, and the host of This Woman Can podcast, sharing the leadership journeys of Caribbean and diaspora women. Janice is also a sought-after keynote presenter for corporate and nonprofit environments and speaks on issues relating to leadership, women's advancement, professional success, and work-life alignment. Woo! That is a lot to get through. So we're going to see how much of that we can talk about today. It won't be everything, but we'll get started. As I always start out with, what is your awakening moment?
Whoa, past 40, a lot happened past 40, April. But if I had to pick one pivotal moment, it would have been just after my 50th birthday. And I was going through my own internal transformation. Unbeknownst to me, should I say. And I remember being working, and I managed two locations, two islands. So I was on this other second island, Montserrat, and I'm walking down the road and I start crying. And I start crying because I had the sudden realization that something that happened to me in my past was something that I'd never really admitted and spoken about openly. Yeah. And I realized once I relinquished that thought, that I could do whatever I wanted to do. Yeah. And that was probably my awakening moment. And that's when I decided to leave the corporate world, start my plans to leave the corporate world and to establish my own business at the height of my corporate career, probably people would say.
Wow. Are you open to sharing what that history is?
Yeah, I suppose it was admitting it. I had had a very bad first marriage, and all the terms that goes with it. And I realized that I'd been probably harboring, probably revenge is maybe the word, revenge. I maybe wanted revenge. Didn't think that the individual he had paid, proverbial paid, right, for what had happened, what had done to me in life. He'd never apologized as far as I was concerned. So I was waiting for this physical bolt of lightning to strike them down. And when I realized, and I was having a conversation, I had a coach at that point, and she was like, isn't the fact that you have become this person, this CEO, you've scaled all those heights in spite of him, isn't the revenge? Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh, shoot. I'm being polite there. That's probably, you know, oh, yeah, that is. And when I realized, I'm like, wow, I'd already done it all already.
Yeah.
I already had that. It didn't have to be physical. You had already done it. You'd got to where you are despite of.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I think that's where it is.
No, I can imagine that. You have so much pent up frustration and anger that you want to prove this person wrong, and you don't even think about what you're already doing is proving them wrong.
And you don't even know you want, you don't, you're not even thinking that you want to do that. It's not even a conscious, You know, you're just doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it was like this, oh, shit. Yeah, you know. So, and once that, and I was already, at the top of my game anyway.
Yeah.
And then you think, and then you start thinking, well, where could I have been if I hadn't had those thoughts? But it's by the by, it's done now.
Yeah, I'm you don't want to think about what could have happened. You are well on your way.
Yeah, I've got a fabulous life, you know, so I can't complain at all.
So where did that take you? So you said you started your own thing. What was it and how did it relate to your previous position?
So what I did after that was realize I was going to have this, what I called my Janice 2020 plan. It's really ironic that we're now in 2020. So this is my 50th birthday. I'm heading to 56 now. And I had this 5-year plan that, you know, Janice 2020, all this was going to happen. I was going to live at the corporate, blah, blah, blah. And when I had that realization, I realized I can't do 5 years. I cannot physically do 5 years of doing this. So I spoke, I had a long chat with my husband about how I was feeling, because I didn't realize how I was feeling unhappy anyway in the corporate, the work I was doing. You don't, probably menopausal as well, to be honest, when I think about it. A lot was happening at work. And I suddenly realized, I don't want to be doing this. Is this it? Is this going to be it for how many years? This can't be it. So I had a chat with my husband about how I was feeling, you know, because I'd see him happily trotting off to work in his own business, all smiles. And I'm like, gosh, I'm miserable, you know. So we'd have this conversation. He said, look, you've already done this. You've been doing this for 7 years. You've worked. We never came here to work this hard for somebody else. We always had this plan of doing our own business. And you've helped me create my business. It's your turn now. So that's when I decided, well, that's it. So I gave my company 6 months notice because we were going through a restructure. I didn't want to, I'd nurtured a lot of this team and stuff. We worked closely together. It was a restructure. I wanted to see the restructure through.
Right.
But I made it clear that at the end of it, it wasn't where I wanted to go with you in this organization. It was already the longest I'd ever worked at any organization, because I've always, after 4 years, probably moved on.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd done my bit. And then I made my plan. And I'll say plan in tentative in air quotes, because I didn't really have a plan other than I didn't want to do this anymore.
Right.
So
Been there.
Yeah. So we parted ways. It was very amicable, you know. It was great. I still live on the island. So, you know, so I see my team regularly. I see people from the team regularly. And I almost went to I kind of say it's my vision quest maybe, but I ended up taking a year out, because what I also realized is that I had worked in the corporate world for 30 years. That's all I had known. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how else to work. So there was this discombobulation, this disconnect as to what do I do? And again, my coach pointed out to me, well, Janice, you've done this for 30 odd years. You're not going to get out of your system overnight. It's a process.
Right.
So I went through that process. So I said, so let me take a year out for me. I could do that. Let me take a year, because I had, again, all my plan was like, well, financially, am I going to support myself? And my husband pointed out, you've done all right. There's nothing to buy on the island. You've pretty much banked all your salary.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, there's nothing to do with it. So I took a year out. I went to Miami for a week on my own, visited some friends, took some time for myself, wrote my book, This Woman Can. I'd started the podcast already, This Woman Can, as well. So I just really played and found a more creative side, things I hadn't tapped into before, because I was always in this corporate bubble, this corporate mold, even though I was using those skills in a different way.
Yeah.
From my, when I look at creativity, I always said I have a MacGyver mindset, and I had that creativity in the corporate world because I had to come up with solutions very quickly. So it didn't have to look pretty, but it had to work.
Right.
You know, so there was always that mindset. So I took that year out really just to find where I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. I was avoiding leadership like the plague. I thought that's what I've done all the time. I must be able to do something different. But everything kept coming back to that leadership. It's what I knew. It's what women asked me about. It's what I was passionate about. It's what I wrote the book about. I was pretty much born a leader because I'm the eldest of six children. you know, so it was ingrained. So then it was a process of how do I take my knowledge, what I know, and how do I share it, and who do I want to share it with?
So leadership, yes. Leadership. So yes. You help women lead.
Yes.
Where do you start in this journey when you're coaching women?
The thing I love about leadership is that lots of people think if I pick up a book and I go to university and I take this program, I can lead. And it's not like that.
Yeah.
Leadership is very, very mental, especially for women, because we have been conditioned maybe not to be in that space.
Yes.
So it's really about breaking all, in the nicest possible term, breaking all that conditioning, you know, improving your confidence, overcoming imposter syndrome, you know, navigating your limiting beliefs. It's not that they ever go away. It's right. Just that you now you can recognize them and you have the tools in which to overcome them when you feel it. I think I just wrote a post about this week about me feeling a little overwhelmed. And what I did, because normally sometimes you'd sit there going, oh my gosh, you procrastinate, nothing gets done. But I recognized I was feeling a little overwhelmed. I thought, okay, what do I need to do? What works? Take that step back, do the reflection, take a couple of quick steps, and then come back. So when I work with leadership, it's about, I like to work, I call the underbelly of leadership, the things you don't see on the surface.
Yes.
So, you know, you could be the corporate one at the top of your game, but no one knows that you left a bunch of screaming kids at home and a husband who's really miserable.
Right.
You know, when you walk into that office,
yeah.
There's still the things you have to deal with, the things you have to navigate, that mom guilt, you know, you have to do this work. And I don't talk about work-life balance because I think it's a fallacy, it doesn't exist. What we have to find is, I call work-life integration. So where can I fit? There's going to be some overlap, accept it.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot be there 24/7 for your children, but you can have quality moments and make sure you're in that moment when you're with your child. You know, so it's really about doing that and finding what works best for you. So that's where I start with the leadership. So it's talking with the women and having that sounding board to say, you know, sometimes I tell people, and people don't understand this, it's very lonely at the top when you get there because there's very few people you can talk to. Because as the leader, people assume you should know it all.
Right.
Because after all, that's how you got there. You know, what do you mean you're struggling with this? So you have to have that sounding board, someone who won't judge you, who will say, okay, get out of your feelings sometimes. It's a feeling. And what makes you feel like that? You know, what have you done? What have you done that disproves how you're feeling or what you're thinking right now? Mm-hmm. So it's really just that sounding board. And that is all part of leadership. Because we don't wake up thinking, hey, I'm going to be a leader. It doesn't happen like that.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. So we talk actually a lot about unlearning just in general on this show, because once we get to a certain age, I think we kind of realize all the good things that we learn and all the bad things that we learn and how some of the programming has been detrimental to us.
Yes.
So in my case specifically, you know, I was raised that I needed to kind of be a perfectionist,
yes.
that I had to do everything correctly. I had to be responsible for everything. I needed to be that person to turn to. Yes. And that weighs on you, especially as you get older, because Absolutely. Then your responsibilities as a child are less than they are when they're an adult. So when you're young, it's not so big of a deal because you're just like, oh, no big deal. You know, I can carry my grades and that, you know, I'll be great in sports or, you know, on my clubs. But then when you start compounding that with a spouse, a house, kids, a job, you know, it becomes overwhelming and it just feels like this enormous pressure that you cannot get from under.
Yeah.
And so we talk a lot about, and then even on the perfectionist or relationships, how we deal with our relationships, unprogramming and reprogramming positive thoughts and feelings into a situation, because, you know, a lot of situations we looked at growing up were not great. You know, you looked around, we don't have a lot of, like in my sphere, I don't see a lot of growing up. I did not see a lot of happy married couples.
Right.
And, you know, and when you thought they were happy, it was like the book dropped and they got divorced. Yeah. And it was like, wait, I thought you guys were doing great. Or you find out someone's been cheating on their spouse for years, and the wife just kind of, I'd rather be married and then single. And you realize how people are just like dealing with stuff instead of not dealing with it, settling for things instead of actually dealing with it, confronting it and choosing their happy life.
Yes.
So reprogramming is definitely necessary for most of us.
Yeah.
And leadership, it just like you said, you know, there's what's her name? Of course I forgot her name. Head of Facebook.
Sheryl Sandberg,
you know, I read her book Lean In, and you know, she talked about if there's no seat at the table, pull up a chair.
Yeah.
As opposed to sitting on the wall, because, you know, that's what we're typically used to doing. Like, if there's no seats, we'll just sit against the wall, we'll be quiet. And, you know, she's like, no, pull up a chair to the table, move some people over and sit there so you can be part of the conversation and not an onlooker. And I think as women, we're just taught to, you know, sit on the side and let the men take the lead, and we'll just listen.
I think I kind of tackled that really early on, even before my 40s, because of the relationship I'd had.
Mm-hmm.
And I then realized there's things I could do. I'd married very young.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't really grown up. I'd grown up, mm-hmm. but I was too adult, probably too early, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Once I'd had my children and I reflected where I wanted to go, I realized where I wasn't right now. So what could I do to move myself forward? I went back to university as a mature student. I took two degrees, three degrees, and two degrees and a master's. So, you know, all the time while I had the boys to set that example. And then I also realized I started dating, and then realized this isn't for me in the way that I think we have. Sometimes we're looking for what we want, when I actually think what we should be looking at is what we don't want.
Okay.
So when I realize what I don't want, and you're exhibiting all the things I don't want, I'm good. Yeah. You know, I'm good. I'm out. And then I would realize I wasn't looking. I then met my now husband. This is 16, 17 years ago. And we just clicked. And at that point, I was always told myself, I'm not prepared to compromise.
Yeah.
You know, in that respect, that, you know, I'm happy to give and take, and I want to be a relationship, but, you know, I don't want to be contained in who I am. So, and the thing we loved about each other is the fact that we take each other for who we are, not what we think we want them to be.
Well, I mean, I would say so I've been married to my husband for 13 years, but we've been together about 18. About 18 years. And one of the one question that I remember that stood out the most out of all the premarital counseling was, if he would never change, could you stay with him?
Yes.
And I think that's really, it was the most important question, because it made me realize that it's not my job to try to change him.
Absolutely.
It is not my job to try to grow him. It's not my job to invest in potential.
Yeah.
And that was really the only question out of all of them that really I was like, I don't have an answer. I'm going to have to come back to you next week. And it may not be next week. It may be the week after.
Yeah.
If this is really what I want to deal with for the rest of my life. Because the whole goal, obviously, for most of us is to get married and stay married.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not his job to make you happy.
No. And it's not his job to make me happy. Yeah. Yes. And that was one of the things. So as we... as we got our counseling and I talked to other women, see, I have a little different opinion, but it's for the same reason. Right. So I'm big on red flags. I'm huge on red flags. If you see a red flag when you're dating, if it's in the first year of dating and you see a red flag, I'm out. The first year is supposed to be the honeymoon period. Yeah. And if they can't do what you need them to do or be the person they want you to be, or I mean, if they're not the person you want them to be in that first year, it's not going to get better. It's not going to change, because this is the time that they're supposed to be, you know, courting you.
Yeah.
And being on their best behavior, and their best behavior has red flags. So in my case, I actually did write a list of things I wanted. And right. it's a list of 25 things. And my husband had to be 24, happened to be 24 of those. But it was very, they weren't superficial. I mean, there were a couple of superficial things, you can't get out of that. But most of them were like about their character. It was about, you know, trust, respect, loyalty, hardworking. And I see some people, you know, they have their list and it's like, they got to be good looking and tall. And I'm like, you can't build a marriage off of good looking and tall.
It fades. They shrink and it shrivels. So.
They shrink, they gain weight, they, you know, they may not take care of it. There may just be a season that they don't take care of themselves and it's not purposeful, but you know, all that stuff is going to go away. And you can't, if you don't have the other character bases, then you don't really find the, you don't find them attractive anymore because you're looking at the exterior.
Superficial.
Yeah. The superficial. So, I'm definitely big on like red flags and learning and knowing what those red flags are for you. So mine's physical abuse. I mean, there's a bunch, but physical abuse is a huge one. Any kind of verbal abuse, controlling issues.
Yes.
I can't have you telling me where to do. I remember went on a date with one guy and at the end of the date, he's like, I want to introduce you to my mom. And I was like, nope, too fast.
Whoa.
I was like, this is way too fast. I don't know what's going on. We just had date one. And so, and for me, that was a red flag. I was like, you are already, if you want to introduce me to mom, we're talking about a marriage and what?
And you're claiming me with it.
You're already claiming me and, you know, I'm not feeling that same way. So, but paying attention is really key. But back to why you're here, about leadership. What do women need to tap into to be their best selves as a leader?
It sounds cliche, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And I would say authenticity, their authentic self. It is really hard trying to lead, especially in challenging times and stuff like that, when you are not who you naturally are. You know, so when you're trying to have this facade and this, give this impression of this is who I am, and it's actually opposite to who you are, and you're trying to lead a large team, you're trying to face a crisis, that's a whole lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, so leaning into your authenticity and embracing it, even if it's not what you have seen. Let me share a story. When I was asked to be CEO of the company here, the sector here, and I resisted it because the only people I'd ever seen in that role were pale, male, and stale. Yeah, the only thing I'd ever seen that role. And I tell people this all the time. And I remember saying to my boss, and he said to me, Janice, you should go for the role. I'm leaving. I'm going back home because they're all expats. Mm-hmm. You should take up the role. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I said, I've seen how you guys lead. Mm-hmm. And if that's how you want me to be, I can't be that way.
Right.
And this is all that was going through my head. And he said, Janice, just make it yours, make it your own. And you know, that little thing is like, oh shit, yeah, I could, can't I? I'm the boss, you know?
Right, right.
That light bulb moment that said, yeah, just make it my own. Because I was also cognizant, because I'd always been kind of the second in command, mm-hmm. I was always naturally myself. So I didn't have to be this boss persona,
yeah.
You know? So when my team knew me, how they knew how to interact with me, I got things done and stuff like that. And I had this impression that if I now stepped up that level, I would have to be somebody else. And I didn't want to be that somebody else.
Yeah.
So having almost him saying and giving myself permission to be who I am, you know, the team would say, we thought you'd be different, but we're really glad you're not. That was brilliant because they did things for me they would never do to anybody else because we had that relationship. They understood where they stood with me. We could converse. I could get down to their level, or I could also be the boss when I had to make difficult decisions. They respected that.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it's about being your authentic self. And again, I think I know it's all banded around. People go, oh, this is woo-woo stuff. But it is about being true to who you are and leading from the heart, from people, and putting yourself in. I realize I'm a people person. Didn't think about it before. you know, but I'm always cognizant, okay, for me to get them to do what I want to do, how would I feel? And how do I get them to do it? And it's not manipulation before people think you're trying to do Jedi mind tricks. It's just about being cognizant, okay, what would make it work for you? How can we find a common ground? You do understand if we can't find a common ground and I need to get this done, then I'm still going to have to press ahead. You understand that?
Yeah.
You know, so if people know where they stand and it's communication and it's clear, there's clarity, you can't go wrong.
Well, I mean, I really like that line that you just had of give yourself permission to be you.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us we spend a lot of time looking at what other people do and how they do it.
Yes.
And we try to model that expectation. And it's really an expectation in our head about what other people are wanting as opposed to what they've actually asked you to do. Because if they asked you to be in a leadership role, it's because they like your type of leadership.
Yeah. I always tell women that, I tell people that organizations, and you know, if you're going for all, organizations don't employ you for them to fail at their business. They employ you because they see a quality, a skill that they need in their business. So you're wanted. You have to understand that. We don't employ you to fail. That's not in our interests. It's expensive to recruit someone, to train someone, to get them to where they want to be. Right. It's a long, arduous process.
Yes.
So we're not bringing you in here to be a failure. We're bringing you here because we see a skill set that we need and we see an experience that you can deliver.
Yeah. So on that note, what are there tools that women should work on besides being themselves to get them to the next, like what is a kind of a general coaching pathway to get them to step into those leadership roles and become stronger leaders?
Check yourself. And by that I mean the little voice in your shoulder, you're in a mean girl that has that constant conversation with you about why you should be doing something or how you're not good enough. Check, put her in check. Well, it could be him, but for me it's a girl. Mm-hmm. So put her in check. Remember, you know, if you're in that position, remember why you're there. All the things I said before, it's because they identified a skill set and experience that you can bring to the table. Remember why you're there. Remember why you're there.
Yeah.
And another conversation I was having with somebody else the other day is that when you look at, I've been in a boardroom where I am maybe the only black face or I'm the only woman and stuff. Remember, we all poop the same way. You know, so... let's get a bit of grounding here.
Yeah.
They're not special. They're nothing special. And then the other thing I would say on that side from the special is I tell women you're not that special because we all suffer this me, myself, and I syndrome where we don't talk to others. We keep it to ourselves because we don't think anybody else understands, has never been through it, doesn't know what I'm going through. But invariably, if you say tap a woman on the next shoulder and say, look, I've had this experience or I've been through this, they will say, oh, yeah, I know that or I've been through that and this is how I overcame it. So tap into your network. Never be afraid to ask for what you want, whether it's support, money, promotion. Never be afraid to ask for it because if the only answer they give you back is no, you're no worse off than when you started.
Correct. No, that, I don't know, when I was younger, I had that was innate in me. You know, I used to go up, I mean, from in every situation, I used to ask the guys out myself and I used to go up to them or ask them to buy me a drink. And women would always, you know, my girlfriends would be like, well, you can't do that. And I was like, why not? And I'm like, the worst thing they're going to say is no. And right now I'm standing on the side and not getting a drink and not getting the date. Yeah. And that's where I am anyway. So it doesn't make me feel bad that they said no, because technically I feel just as bad with them not offering it themselves.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know, as I've gotten older, maybe because I've had kids or something, I feel a lot more protected and it's so hard to just get out of that and really take back that strength of like, I'm going to take on the world and ask anybody anything.
Yeah.
Besides just do it, because honestly, that's what it comes to.
It's a work in progress.
How do you work through that though? How do you get to that place?
as I said, it's an inner confidence. It's knowing your worth. You know what you bring to the table, and be cognizant and be comfortable hearing no. Be comfortable hearing no. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. You know, some people dunk, some people don't. You know, that's an English thing. You know, dunking their biscuits and their tea. But and some people don't. You're not, so don't take it personal.
Gotcha.
You know, and I always used to say there are 7.8 billion people in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to like what I've got to offer.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
somebody's so, got it.
Yeah, so it's having that level and it's owning it. If you've got to a certain position, own it. If you've got to a certain level, own it. Your experience, your quality, own it. And don't be afraid to show it. We're taught not to brag because it's unladylike.
Yeah.
But if you don't talk about what you deliver, what you have, what you bring, no one's going to do it for you. And no one can do it better than you because you know what you want to be said about you. So yeah. Own it. Own that dialogue.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's hard. It's hard to break out of
your head. I'm not saying it's easy. So take tiny steps.
Yeah.
So every time you feel like you're going to hesitate, have that conversation and say, if I do this, what's the worst that could happen?
Okay.
You know, what's the worst that could happen? In any case, if they say no, well, if they say no, I'm no worse off than I was before.
Yeah.
If they say maybe, oh, there's a chink in that armor. And if they say yes, wow,
there you go. You got what you.
You know. So take baby steps and don't be afraid to ask. Awesome. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst that can happen? And I don't know. I guess we just feel like the world is going to implode if we get a no. And really, you're just exactly where you were before you asked.
Exactly. Exactly. And at least if it's a no, you know where you stand.
Yeah.
And you know, and then if it's a no, you say okay. Especially if you're if an appraisal situation, for instance, you're having a one-to-one and stuff like that, and you ask the question and someone says no, well, what do I need to do to get there? Give me some guidance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not clear. Where am I lacking? What do I need to work on?
Yeah.
You know, how do I get there? How can I get the help I need? Mm. Ask questions. It's not facetious, especially if you're talking to your boss.
Yeah.
You know, that's their job.
Yeah.
That's their job, is to develop you, hands down. You know, they may not think it's in their job description, but it is, because if you do good, they look good.
Right.
So it's in their interest to develop you.
Never even thought about that at all. being developed by my boss. I end up often being left alone with my work. I get employed as an employee, but I end up typically not having a lot of guidance and having to figure a lot of things out myself. And I just end up getting these like niche positions where my boss really doesn't know what I do, but I make them look good. So I keep getting employed, but they don't really know what I do, but I keep, you know, either growing the company or just shining in a way that they shine. So.
And if you're happy with that, that's great for you. Yeah. But if you're in a situation where you're not, then you have to ask that question.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always, you know, I think sometimes we go into a role and we have this meritocracy impression. This impression is meritocracy, and that if I work hard, get my head down, they're going to notice. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. You have to put your head above the parapet. You have to put your hand up. You have to ask the questions. Be in control of your own destiny. That is always, you know, for me, I want to be in control. Do you want someone to control your future, or do you want to control it for yourself?
Oh, I like controlling my own future, which is why I took my right turn. So do you have any remarks to leave the listeners?
Not so much remarks. I think I've said a lot.
I've said a lot.
But I've also created my own online community for women of color. Mm. And it's thiswomancan.coach. So okay. In there, you know, if people can't stretch to a coach, they'll do the coaching. There's lots of resources, free resources in there for women to look at imposter syndrome. How do I get ahead? Get some support, get hints and tips, network with the community of like-minded women who are sharing the same things. This is one of my ways of kind of giving back and saying that you don't have to go it alone. There's resources out there. Sometimes as well, especially now, I think for me, where we are now with all the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff like that, I'm 56 and it's a revelation how much I'm still thinking, wow, I've shied away from saying some things because this was ingrained that you didn't say it. Like I would never have said the network. I would have said the network was for women, and I would talk to women of color and Caribbean women, but I would never have said it out loud.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't want to upset.
Yeah.
And when you check yourself, you're thinking, wow, that's been ingrained for years. You know, but no, I'm proud. So I want women of color to take all the resources that are available to them and use them, wear them out to get where they need to get to.
But that you're, I mean, not particularly for work itself, but just being open and honest. I know with the whole movement going on now, I've been extremely vocal about my opinion because overall, I would describe myself as conservative. But what's going on, I'm like, if that's conservative, that's not what I want to be. Like, if that's the direction you guys are headed, I can't do that. I would say up until 2016, I would have said, you know, I'd lean more Republican. I would say I voted more Republican than I ever did Democrat. Yeah. But now I'm just like, I want to vote all the Republicans out. And I'm not afraid to say that. Before I was like, you know, I don't want to seem biased. I want to seem neutral. And I'm like, no, but
they're allowing
us to go backward. And I don't want to go backward.
I'm not even American. And I'm in the Caribbean. And I'm watching. We're watching. And my husband and I, because obviously the U.S. is very close for us.
Yes.
We're like, no way.
No way.
Because you don't know if I'm a tourist walking down the road.
No.
You just see a black face.
Yes.
You know? Exactly. And we're like, that's not for us. That's not on the board.
Just what you said right there is what people don't, there are certain people, a lot of people are finally opening their eyes to it, but that's what some people aren't realizing. It's like, when certain people see black people on the street, this is their reaction, period. They don't ask about where they're from, what they did, how much money they make. I mean, I was listening to a comedian, I think it was Alonzo Bowden, I think that's his name. And he was talking about how, you know, he's a very tall black man. I think he's in his 50s now. And if he goes into a store of wealth, they always ask if he's a basketball player. But then they also follow him around the store as if he's going to steal something. And then he's like, but I don't understand. You can't have it both ways. If you think of a basketball player, you think I can afford it. Yeah. But then you follow me around as if I'm going to steal it. Which one is it? Like, can I afford it or am I going to steal it? But you guys want to do both of them all the time. And it puts me on edge. And I don't feel comfortable in your store. So it's just... it's just so crazy. And I don't know what this election is going to
be. And I have grown children, two grown black men. And I'm sometimes, and they're in the UK. And even that, you know, I'm fearful. So it's a strange time. It's strange times, but I'm really glad that I didn't realize. I think a lot of people are realizing how much they suppressed.
Yeah.
How much we just got along.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're feeling vocal. And I'm hoping there is a change.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm a little cynical, I'll be honest, because we've been here before.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've been here. See, I think in a weird way, COVID has changed the whole dynamic.
Absolutely.
Because it has forced people that, I mean, even my good-natured white friends, like, and I love them to death, and I would never even consider them racist.
Yes.
But they're opening their eyes to their privilege and things that they never had to even think about for the first time in their lives. Like, and I'm part of a couple of writers groups, and one of the writers in there, she said, I wish people would get off my page telling me I can't be cheering for social justice. I'm tired of people coming here telling me what I can do with my own page. And I just read it with kind of like a warm heart, because I'm like, I don't have to do the fight by myself anymore. Yes. And I don't have to convince people anymore.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what we had to do. It was like half the reason we suppressed it was they didn't understand. And you would just talk in circles and they're like, yeah, whatever. And you're just
true.
Like,
it's so true. Just to forget whatever. It. Just forget
yeah.
it.
Forget it. It. Yeah. I'll suck it up. Yeah. I've been sucking it up for the last years. I can suck it up some more.
Yeah.
Now other people are fighting the fight and they're like, well, how do you not get tired? I'm like, I'm exhausted. It's not being tired. You're exhausted. You just have to keep going. And now it's the saying, more hands lighten the load, you know? So it's like, now that we have more people speaking, the more people supporting, more people understanding, it's a lighter load for everyone. And we aren't so exhausted, not to say we're not, but we're not so exhausted because I don't have to fight every single fight because I have my friend over here who's willing to jump in for me and take it over. And I can just kind of bow out. So I think this will be different. And I think the way our current president is acting, it feels like he wants it. Like, I don't know what it is. It feels like he wants this to happen. So like a straight revolution. I don't know if it's for good reasons or for bad reasons, but it feels like he wants it because every time I turn around, he is doing something else.
The most.
That ticks just stabs at us. It's like, I don't understand. Just, you don't have to say things like that. You could just not speak.
Say anything. Yeah.
But absolutely. Instead, you speak and stab. So it's been interesting. Anyway, that took an interesting turn. Well, how do people find you?
They can contact me on social media. So connect me on LinkedIn. I am Janice Sutherland. Connect with me on Facebook. I am Janice Sutherland. On Twitter, it's This Woman Can. Or head over to my, if you want to join the group, head over to www.thiswomancan.coach to join the network. Or just search my name online. You'll find me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. This is such a great conversation. And have a great day.
Thank you, April. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Other Side of 40. You can find us at our site, theothersideof40.com, and on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Other Side 40.